Well, good morning, and again, welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley on this first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a very special season in the life of not just our congregation, but the church universal. It's a season of longing, of anticipation, and especially of hope. We wait to celebrate not only the coming of Jesus Christ, God with us, on Christmas Day, but we also await his ultimate return, when, as Tori said, the wolf will lie with the lamb, the death will be swallowed up in victory, and every tear will be wiped away. This is what we anticipate, we wait for, we long for, we hope for. And for the next 4 weeks of Advent, we'll be exploring this audacious hope. We'll examine the source and shape of our hope as those who both celebrate the birth and anticipate the return of God with us, Emmanuel. And our scripture text this morning offers us a first word of hope in the midst of darkness. So as we turn to our scripture text this morning, I invite you to sit back, to enter in, however you best do that. It's a long scripture text, but it has a needed word of hope for us. So listen now to God's word for us from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 and 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we come to your word this morning from a weekend of thanksgiving, feasting on your provision for us in ways big and small. And yet, even in the midst of our thanksgiving, we're desperately hungry for a word of hope, for a word of life. And so we turn to you, knowing that you're the God of both. Speak to us now through this your word read and preached, that you might use it to comfort and encourage, challenge and inspire us to be people of hope, even while we wait. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, we pray. Amen. Friends, we are in a season of darkness. It's a season of long nights and short days, dark mornings boarding the bus to school, and twilight drives home from work. It's a season of gray clouds heavy with rain and of black umbrellas dotting the sidewalks outside our windows. But the darkness of this season touches more than just the landscape surrounding us. This is a season in which many of us feel keenly the empty chair at the holiday table. Some of us sit in the shadow of a diagnosis that leaves us wondering, could this be the last holiday season? It's a season in which the chasm between us and someone we love may feel so fresh and real. Or perhaps the pressures of the season, social, financial, overshadow us with anxiety. It's a season in which the words adorning our cute Christmas cards, words of peace, joy, goodwill, feel almost childish in the face of such deep division, fear, and malevolence. We look around, and the landscape surrounding us feels oh so dark and dreary. Many of us carry the gloom in our spirits, and we're weary, aren't we? We're longing, desperate for a word of hope, for a ray of light in the darkness. And the question becomes, where do we turn to for light in the darkness? Many of us have tried our best to manufacture light in the darkness. We've researched the best physician and the treatment that's most highly recommended. We've tried to practice deep listening around our holiday dinner tables with even those relatives that just drive us crazy. We've sought out intentional ways to reduce our carbon footprint. We've supported organizations like those in our Gift World catalog that are doing good, important work addressing housing insecurity, poverty, abuse, education. But these sparks feel minuscule in the sea of darkness engulfing us. We long for a hope that's bigger than our own making, don't we? The Gospel of John offers a word of hope to us in the midst of darkness. And it's this: we don't have to manufacture hope. The word of hope and light that we are longing for has been present since the very beginning. Unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Gospel of John doesn't begin with stories of Mary or Joseph or shepherds of angels that we see on our art installations. It doesn't begin with cozy nativity scenes in Bethlehem. It begins at the very beginning with the creation of the cosmos. Remember in our Genesis reading and the Advent wreath, the words from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, darkness covered the face of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God speaks, and there is light from darkness, creation from chaos. In John 1, the same word that we see in Genesis, which was present and active at creation, is once again bringing light from darkness, creation from chaos. But this time, in a new, audacious way. The word here enters in. The word dwells with us. The light comes down. Throughout Scripture, God's people cried out for illumination, for hope in the midst of darkness and chaos, and God responded to them in primarily two ways. They longed for God's assurance and presence with them, and God responded through the tabernacle, the tent of meeting that traveled with the Israelites during their wilderness wanderings, a dark season in the life of Israel. And later, God responded through the temple, a place where God dwelled with God's people. God promised to dwell with them in these structures, and there God's people could meet the holy God through the mediation of a priest on certain days and under certain circumstances. But here, the word of God takes a radical new approach. It's as if God is saying, you know what, we've tried your way. We've tried structures manufactured by human hands, and it hasn't worked. So let me speak to you in a language that you can understand, not of walls or altars, not of rituals or rules, but in flesh and blood, my very self among you. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. The same Word that created the world and spoke light into darkness is now entering into it. God took up residence with us, or as Eugene Peterson puts in the Message translation, God moved into the neighborhood. God drew close. Why? To bring light and life in the midst of darkness. In the midst of darkness, God comes close because God knew that we needed hope that was bigger than our own making. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of chaos, God's response to us isn't, get busy. You created this situation, now you can respond to it. It's instead, I am with you. I am with you. God says to us, I know it's dark and there doesn't seem to be much hope. And I know that you're in way over your head. And that's why I've entered in. I'm bringing light from darkness, creation from chaos. Remember, the darkness isn't dark to me. It's always been the canvas on which I create. I am doing a new thing. This is Advent. This is a new beginning that God is bringing about among us. So don't lose hope, God says. Even when the darkness seems to engulf you, I am your hope. I am with you. Advent is a season of waiting and hoping amidst the darkness. In it, we anticipate Jesus' birth at Christmas, the Word audaciously becoming flesh and moving in among us, living with us, the light coming down. Even as we await Christ's return, when he'll do away with darkness once and for all. But Advent isn't just a season of passive waiting. Like John the Baptist in our text this morning, we are invited to play an active part. And that is to witness to the light, which has indeed come into the world. We don't have to manufacture it. We can simply witness to it. In a courtroom, you'll recall that the role of the witness is to testify to what they've seen or heard. We, as God's people, are called to witness to the light which has indeed come into the world. We're called to witness to the light and hope of Christ among us, to point to it in our words and our deeds, to embody it. What might this witness look like in the midst of darkness? John Perkins is an evangelical author and a longtime social activist and the founder of the Christian Community Development Association. And he sketches the movements of witness beautifully in the CCDA's three R's. And they are this. First, relocation. Rather than moving away from the darkness, we as Advent people intentionally enter into it. Like Jesus, we get proximate to it so that we may witness to light and life even there in the midst of darkness. And in so doing, we may be surprised to find that there are already sparks of both present. The second R is reconciliation. We seek the restoration of right relationships with God and others as Advent people. Where there's pain, we witness to healing. Where there's abuse, we witness to justice. Where there's division and animosity, we witness to peace. And the third R is redistribution. We pursue just redistribution of resources so that no one goes without when there is more than enough to share. Relocation, reconciliation, redistribution. This is the shape of Advent witness, because it's the shape of the incarnation. This is how Christ brought and is bringing light and life into the darkness. It's not up to us to create the light, friends. That is the good news of this season. We are simply invited to point to it, to witness to the light which has entered in. To be Advent people is to be people of audacious hope. That doesn't mean that we deny the darkness. That's not hope, that's denial. In fact, it's audacious hope because we know just how dark things really are. But we also know that however dark things may be, the light does indeed shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Our hope is in the light that has come down, has made his home among us, and is even now casting the darkness away. May we be people who witness to this audacious hope, even as we wait. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are perplexed by the notion of Emmanuel, God with us. We can't understand it. We can't fathom your love, your favor for us. Lavish, unmerited favor that brought you, the God of the cosmos, into a humble cradle. That drew you, the light of the world, into the darkness to be with us, to bring light and life. How absurd, how audacious, how marvelous. Emmanuel, we thank you that you are a light in the midst of darkness and chaos, and that we can put our hope in you, and that you are indeed at work, and that you invite us to witness to that work through incarnational living. Help us to be people of audacious Advent hope, trusting that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, in fact, overcome it. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, this morning we have the opportunity to witness to the hope that we have in Christ through our table, through the bread and the cup. And as we do so, we have the opportunity to unite our voices with the church of all times and places through speaking the Apostles' Creed together. So would you join me in confessing our faith and hope in Christ? Brothers and sisters, in whom do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.